Today on Focal Point, an encouraging message from Pastor Mike Fabares.
The reality is you and I suffer and we struggle. We look at our lives, we go, how can God value us? I don't feel very valued by God, but He values you. He's put us in a situation where our lives are going to deteriorate. There's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be disappointment. All of that's going to be true until He redeems our flesh. And when that takes place, see, we won't have this problem anymore.
Have you ever been listening to a sermon about the gospel and felt, well, a little bored? If you've been a Christian for a while, and especially if you grew up in church, you probably know all about Jesus' death and resurrection and how it frees us from sin. And hearing these truths so often, well, it can sometimes start to feel repetitive. But that doesn't have to be the case. Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares is helping us recapture the joy of salvation.
Well, I must admit that we've been watching a little baseball at our house recently. That's true. But I have to tell you that watching baseball with my wife and my daughter, it's a little different experience than it used to be watching baseball with my two boys who are now both away at college. I mean, my wife and my daughter, they understand the basics of the game. They can appreciate the game. But my boys understand the game on a whole different level, if you know what I mean. I mean, they appreciate the greatness of the game of baseball because they understand much of the intricacies as to how the game works. Some things are just that way. The more that you understand them, the more you come to appreciate them. And that certainly ought to be how it is for us as Christians when we consider our salvation. That's the way it ought to be. Now, some Christians will say, well, I can just look at the scoreboard and see that we win, and so really all that's all that really matters. I get to go to heaven when I die, and so that's all I need to know, right? Well, I suppose if it were a game, that would be fine, but it's not a game when it comes to our salvation. This is something of matters so profound, matters of life and death, matters of heaven and hell, of pardon and punishment, of reconciliation and redemption, of a exacting and very costly atonement and an eternal inheritance. I mean, these are matters where the details really are important. And we can't afford just to be familiar with the concept of what we have in Christ. We ought to seek to understand the intricacies of all that that means. And the more that we do understand that, the more we come to appreciate it. We really can't afford to go through our Christian life thinking that this is just something simple and common when in fact it's something so profound and so valuable. We dare not yawn our way to heaven. I think the passage that we've come to in Luke will help us with this. It will help us avoid this very offensive mistake that some Christians make as we look at verses 8 through 10 in Luke chapter 15. And if you have your Bibles, please call this passage up. It's the second parable, very short parable in a series of three where Jesus is trying to talk about what salvation means, particularly in response to the Pharisees and the scribes that were raising an eyebrow at Jesus being so passionate about his mission to seek and save the lost that he's there with people that will actually give him a hearing, the sinners and the tax collectors. And so they weren't approving of that. And Jesus, well, you don't understand how important this thing is called salvation. You don't understand. And he speaks in terms of a lost sheep in a herd of 100. We looked at that last time we were together. Now he says, well, think about this. Or it's like a woman, verse 8 says, who has 10 silver coins, and if she loses one, doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and seek it diligently until she finds it? Verse 9, and when she's found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, to appreciate our salvation the way we ought to really begins by understanding something of the two parties that are involved here that are illustrated in this second parable by a woman and a coin. Now, if you think through the sequence of these three parables, the third being the most famous, it begins with one where you've got one lost sheep out of 100, one in 100th loss, and here goes the shepherd to find that lost sheep. Now we get to a loss of a woman who has 10 coins and she loses one. So 1/10 of what she has is lost, and she goes after that coin. And then, of course, you know the third parable where you've got two sons from one father, and he seeks that son that was lost. That is very important for us to catch and to stand back and recognize that when he employs the illustration of money, he should get our attention when it comes to that matter of value. And when you go from 1/100th of what you've lost to 1/10th of what you've lost, I mean, certainly it really drives our focus to the fact that when God seeks the lost, he considers those lost people valuable. And that'd be a good place for us to start. As he says, if a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, if we are illustrated in this passage as people that are a coin, we've got to just at least stop and say, well, that's an amazing thought that the God of the universe would consider us valuable. Let's just jot that down for our notes this morning. Number one, let's just stop and be amazed for a moment as we ponder this biblical idea that God values us. And let's make it more personal. You need to be amazed that God values you. God values you. You stand here today as a Christian and you think about the reality of your life. It began with a God who, before he even brought you to a place of repentance and faith, sat in his throne and said, "You are valuable to me." That's a big deal. And you should be amazed at that. And I suppose there have been some situations in your life where you have been amazed at some people that have taken an interest in you and have valued you. I think back to high school when I met the one who would become my wife one day, and I was way out of my league just to even think that I could get a date with this girl. But I worked hard at it for a long time to get her attention. And she was in a whole nother stratosphere of social standing in high school. But I wore her down. I'd like to say when our eyes met, but it took a long time for her to ever look at me. I was staring her down for some time. But finally, she paid some attention to me. And just exceeding all my expectations, when I finally had the gumption to ask her out, she said yes. I was amazed. I remember thinking about what a huge thing it was that this girl, this stunning girl, would pay any attention to me and say yes to go to the pizza parlor to play Asteroids with me. That was huge. I was amazed. By the way, me and my wife have a cricket problem at our house right now. They are infesting our garage, and of course our garage has a door that leads to the house and a hallway there, and they seem to be creeping down the hallway, and they're really getting bold. You know, these pesky little jumpy, little jittery, I mean, they're not cockroaches, okay, but we don't care for them. And so I went in the garage this week and got out the spray, and I don't know, I don't stock up on all the this stuff, but I had, took what I had and I sprayed, and it did nothing. They're multiplying. Now imagine one of those average crickets gets the attention of one of those stunning crickets and does what he can to get the attention of this beautiful cricket, and the cricket actually responds, and these two crickets go out on a date. That's heartwarming, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, you say, well, are we trying to get sappy here, Pastor Mike? But I mean, come on, it's not crazy that your wife would go out. Well, yeah, no, you're right. It was a stretch, and I was amazed, but I mean, it's not crazy. And so it would be, I suppose, if a very beautiful cricket decides to go out with an average cricket in my garage. That would, I don't know, that's within the realm of possibility. But if I come home and find my beautiful teenage daughter enamored with an average cricket, taken with the cricket, admiring the cricket, writing letters to the cricket, taking pictures of the cricket, I'm going to say, aim higher, honey, right? I mean, you can do better. Let's try and get a boy to pay attention. I mean, that it's not even comprehensible that my daughter would fall in love with a cricket. It makes no sense. So for me to say, I'm sure some of you have been amazed at someone taking an interest in you and valuing you, and you think back to my illustration, of course you've had those experiences, but no one has had the experience of being an average cricket having a beautiful human teenage daughter fall in love with you. That doesn't make any sense. And you don't think that the seraphim and the cherubim and Gabriel and Michael, the archangel, that you don't think that somewhere in the back of their mind, as they watch the beautiful, transcendent, holy, omnipotent, omniscient God take an interest in you, that, I mean, at least in an unguarded moment, don't think, come on, God, aim higher. This is these people? Why would you take an interest in them? This should be an amazing thought for us to recognize that a God who has every reason to pull out the pesticide and spray this thing called planet Earth and say, I'm done with these guys. If you really are honest about who you are and you're really insightful about something of who God is, you should be amazed that God would take any interest in you. You need to let that thought resonate in your mind. You add to that the layer of our sin, and it's just mind-blowing. I mean, it's not even really present in Psalm 8, but it is a psalm I assume that you know. It starts out, "Our Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And here's David pondering the greatness of God. And then he must be thinking back of those days, laying out under the unlit cities of the ancient world, maybe out in the desert somewhere, looking up at the Milky Way and the stars and the moon. And he says, I think of the heavens, the moon and the stars and the handiwork of all that you've made. And verse 4 says, and I consider, what is man that you'd take thought of him? The son of man, a child of Adam, that you would care for him. I mean, we don't even have that strata in his psalm, in his mind there, of the fact that we are sinners rebelling against that God. He just thinks amazing that God would create us and then he would take an interest in us. And the next line, he makes us a little lower than the angels. He values us at the top of this creative heap of giving us domain over all the creatures of this planet. And it's like we are just a little under a Gabriel and Michael and the seraphim and the cherubim. Look at how he's exalted us. And of course, the New Testament clarifies, once the price tag for our redemption is clarified, this is not angels that he helps. When angels rebel, he does pull out the pesticide and says, you guys are done. Outer darkness. And that's where they're headed. He doesn't give help to fallen angels. He gives help, as he says in that passage, to those children of Abraham, those men and women of faith. And he says, I'll care for you. I'll seek you. This is an amazing thought, that God would place such a value on us. There are things that you value, right? This picture of this woman who has 10 silver coins, and I should clarify for some of you, if you understand something of the monetary units that we find in the Bible, you're often familiar with the word denarius, or the denarii, the plural form of that. That's just a transliteration of the Greek term, which is a Roman monetary unit. Well, this is underneath this, which was hidden from our English translation. Coins here, silver coins, is the Greek monetary unit, the drachma. Maybe you've heard that if you've been through Sunday school, the Greek drachma. And though that one's harder to quantify in the ancient world, there's not as much on that. We recognize it's probably an equivalent in the Greek monetary unit to the Roman monetary unit of the denarius. So it's probably about one day's wage. And so, I don't know, let's just round it off. Maybe $100. Now, I'll get on my knees for a quarter if I drop it in the garage. And if I ever get one of those dollar coins, I mean, I'll move furniture to get that thing back. But if I have a $100 coin, I'm going to clear the house and sweep the place, and I'm going to find that $100 coin. Not to mention, if you put this in perspective, this woman only has 10 silver coins. So in her bank accounts, in her checking accounts, so to speak, she's only got $1,000 in her balance. And out of the $1,000, she loses $100, one-tenth. Do you think she values that? Absolutely. And for you richy rich people, let me get it in perspective. Think of all your money, all your cash, all your liquid assets, all your stocks and your bonds and your investments. Put that in your mind, all your banks and all that. Now, take one-tenth of that and put it into one little coin. And then let that slip between the cushions of the couch. You going to work to find that? Oh, you bet. One-tenth of my worth? Yes. I need that back. I want that. We've gone from 1/100th of a flock to 1/10th of someone's money. And here is God saying, I value the sinner. I'm going to seek and save the lost. Value. You've heard the old line, your house is on fire. What are you going to go in there and retrieve? If you've got just 2 minutes to go in and get something, what are you going to get? Well, you're going to get the thing that's most valuable to you. And you know, here is this world that God has judged, and one day he will, according to 2 Peter 3, it's going to burn with an intense heat. He has rushed into this burning building, and he's taken things of value. And they're not things, they're people. They're not inanimate objects that rolled under the dishwasher. They're you and me. And if you stand here today with a testimony, and I could call you up on the platform, you could stand behind this podium and give us your testimony and tell us about you being saved. You need to know you're in this passage. It ends with this, the sinner who repents. Is that you? If that's you, you need to know it starts with this. God valued you like a woman who lost one-tenth of all of her money, in this scenario, a $100 silver coin, and she went to find it because she needed that. She wanted that. She valued that. It's a good word for us. God valued you. Now, I got to be careful with sermons like this. If I preach these kinds of sermons to you every week, your head would get real big. I couldn't fit you through the doors of the church. You might start thinking you're God's gift to God. But we can't have this diet every week because we have to get ourselves in perspective, I understand. But we do need to stop every now and then and recognize that even though we are sinners and there should be a contrition and a humility to us, when it comes down to thinking about who we are, in God's mind, it is a humbling thought, but it is an empowering thought. It is a significant boost. It is something that makes me think, wow, really? God valued me? Yeah, he valued you like a woman seeking one-tenth of her whole wealth. That's a big deal. God valued you. Even though you're a sinner, even though you are a sinner, if you think of that and you think about even in that conversation with Job and his three friends, there was a lot of discussion about the fact. Now, if you think about the absolute holiness of God and you think about us as sinners, it's amazing that God would have any thought of us at all. And you add that concept of sin, Job 4:17, for instance, can mortal man even ever be right before God in his thinking? Can a man be pure before his maker? I mean, just it's impossible. At least on our own merit. 11 chapters later in Job 15:14, the conversation goes this way. What is man that he can be pure? How can he that is born of woman be righteous? Behold, God puts no trust in his holy ones. The heavens are not even pure in his sight. How much less one who is abominable, corrupt, a man who drinks in injustice like water? All you have to do is put the mirror of God's word up against your face and say, listen, if I'm honest about my sin, I'm going to say, who are we that we would ever even have anything of an interest in God's mind? Why would we end up on the radar of God of any interest? Why would he go to any length to help us? Well, maybe this will help. Because you were made in the image of God. Nothing else was made in the image of God. Nothing. You. I don't care how much you love your pets or your animals or you're a horse lover. Nothing was made in the image of God except for us and the angelic class. We have intellect like God. We can think. We can reason. We have emotion. See, your animals are not writing books and discussing philosophy. Those are things that human beings do. And created in that image, we are valuable to God. And when we fell and when we sinned and when we did all that we've done, even in compounding Adam's problem, God still looks at humanity. And in particular, you. And he values you. You don't feel very valuable. I understand that. I don't either, particularly when I think about my sin and when I think about my life and I think about all the things that if God valued me, I wouldn't feel this way. I wouldn't suffer this way. I wouldn't hurt this way. I wouldn't have disappointments like this. I realize that. But if you think those things constitute the whole of how God feels toward us, you've forgotten the fact that we're made in the image of God and he looks from heaven at you and finds value in you. Reminds me of my little problem with my wallet. I found a wallet that I like. It's the kind that I like. It's got the right number of slots in it for my stuff. And I just like the wallet. And I can never find one that's really nice. I always find the cheap ones like at the swap meet that work for me. And so I've gotten to the place now where I realize the problem of them only lasting 12 to 15 months in my back pocket is because they're cheap. So I've learned to buy them in bulk at this point. Not in bulk, but I buy more than one when I find them. And so I'll throw an extra one in my dresser and then it wears out in 15 months and the seams come apart and things start falling out and the slots, the cards drop all the way to the bottom and I can't find them. So whatever. I just get used to the fact they only cost 10 bucks for me. They're cheap. I last time one wore out, I thought, oh, it's time for a new one. The thing was falling apart. The stitching was coming out. I went into my dresser. I go, that's all right. I got a new one. And so I took that out, laid it on my desk, took all the stuff in it, you know, the credit cards, you know, the skinny stack of cash, and I transferred it all over to my new wallet. And then I took that other wallet and I thought about how weird that was because to me, I valued that wallet. I mean, 5 minutes before I transferred that stuff, that piece of leather was super important to me. I wouldn't go to a restaurant and leave it. I wouldn't turn my back on it at the mall. I would have it in my hand, in my pocket. I would carry it with me. It would be with me because it's my wallet and it's important to me. And then it was empty. And I was like, now it's a really gross looking piece of leather. And I walked it over like it was now contaminated to the trash can and threw it away. So here was something I valued and I protected and I kept an eye on and I treasured. But it was a beat up old piece of leather, but I didn't value it for what it looked like. I valued it for what it contained. And what it contained was something that was precious to me. And then I had that nice new wallet, and that was a lot better. And I thought, great, there it is. Now that's the one my eye is on. Now, the reality is you and I suffer, and we struggle. We look at our lives, we go, how can God value us? I don't feel very valued by God, but he values you. He's put us in a situation where our lives are going to deteriorate. There's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be disappointment. All of that's going to be true until he redeems our flesh. And when that takes place, see, we won't have this problem anymore. And so it's important for us to recognize one day the external will match the internal, and what God values in our spirit is going to be remade even in our flesh. And that's going to be the complete package, literally. And we will be in a place valued in a way that we'll know it with every feeling that we have in our new glorified bodies. But for now, we suffer with the paradox of looking at ourselves, looking at our world, feeling the things that we feel and thinking, well, I don't feel very valued. Well, don't mistake it. It may be a rotten looking leather, you know, deteriorating wallet on the outside. But on the inside, God looks from heaven and values you. His eye is on you. He values you.
An encouraging reminder from our series called The Joy of Salvation. You're listening to Focal Point, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Mike Fabares. And if you happen to join us a bit late today, or if you'd like to share this message with a friend, let me remind you that the complete program is available online at focalpointradio.org. And the best part? Well, it's completely free to listen or download. In fact, you can hear Pastor Mike's complete archive of teaching without ever paying a cent. That cost is covered by the generosity of friends like you who donate to support this ministry. And Pastor Mike, we're so thankful for listeners who stand with us in this way, because their support is truly making an impact, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. I could preach and preach and preach, but without the support of our listeners, you listeners out there that are supporting this program, you know, my preaching wouldn't go beyond the walls of our church here in South Orange County, California. But I'm grateful that because of Focal Point and because of your involvement, we are seeing that Bible teaching that this world desperately needs get beyond the borders of our church. People are searching for hope. They need it, particularly this time of year. So many people are down and they're depressed and they're struggling. They look for things that they think will fulfill them, like material blessings, like even family and gatherings. And none of that is really going to bring the joy they need in Christ. So I want you to stand with us to help us reach more people with the hope of salvation. If you give to this ministry, you are helping the Word of God that meets the deepest needs reach people where they're at. And I'd love for you to grow in gratitude for what really matters the most. That's why I want to send you a book called that, Growing in Gratitude, Rediscovering the Joy of a Thankful Heart. Partner with me. I'd love to send that book out to you. It is a highly practical book and a perfect book for this time of year. Dave, could you explain how you can get a copy of this book?
I'd be happy to. Again, the book is called Growing in Gratitude, and it's by Mary Kay Moeller. Mary points out that as Christians, we've been given the greatest gifts imaginable, salvation through Jesus, the Holy Spirit inside us, and the Bible to guide us. Thankfulness should be our natural disposition as we overflow with gratitude. You shouldn't have to reach way down deep to pull it out. So why does complaining come so easy and Thanksgiving take so much work? Discover the answer and the solution when you request this book. It comes with our thanks for your essential support of this ministry. Call 888-320-5885. That's 888-320-5885. Or it might be easier to give and request the book online at focalpointradio.org. With the end of the year rapidly approaching, your gift right now is more important than ever. So on behalf of Pastor Mike and everyone who listens to this program, thank you for standing with us today. Well, I'm your host, Dave Drewy. So glad you joined us today. And be sure to come back next time as we continue our series called The Joy of Salvation. It's another encouraging message about God's amazing love, right here on Focal Point.
Pastor Mike here. You know, it's an honor to be with you every day, helping you explore the depths of Scripture. But I want to be clear, no amount of Bible knowledge is ever going to save you. Be sure where you stand with God. Get in touch with us. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Visit us today at focalpointradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.